It's 11:41 p.m. Monday night. Do you know where your Blackhawks reporters are? Hi, everyone. Welcome to a long-awaited Blackhawks Crazy podcast. Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host on WGN Radio, joining you in our post-game dungeon here across from the Blackhawks locker room, alongside Mr. NHL.com, Mr. Blackhawks Crazy podcaster. And anything else in your title, Scott King?
No.
You could throw in Forbes Entertainment writer. You know, I'll go with that.
And there's a big Forbes story coming up that you're working on that we'll get to a little bit later on. Yes. Yeah. So apologies for it being a couple of weeks, but due to circumstances of long games and everything.
It's my fault and NHL.com's fault, which has to be, you know, it's, I'd like to think of that as, you know, that's my wife and you and the podcast are my happy mistress, if we want to put it in those terms.
Wow. The length of these games has just been ridiculous. And we were going to do one last week, and Scott said, I'm not going to be ready till 11:45 or 45 minutes after I get off the air. Well, here we are, 40 minutes after I get off the air, but it's been so long, we owe you one. And after this game on Monday night, the 8-7 victory over the Ottawa Senators, first of all, how is the condition of your fingertips after going all radical on your keyboard all night long?
They're fine. My nails have been bitten off with all the excitement, all the goals. I'm scrolling through my notes here. Did you have this on the show that it actually tied for the most goals in a game this season? It was the Flames beat the Blue Jackets 9-6 December 4th.
I don't doubt it, really. I really don't doubt it.
There's a lot of scoring this year.
Yeah, I think it's that's what everybody wants. You know, they want all that. And I think this game, more than anything, after it was revealed prior to warmups that Brent Seabrook would be unavailable due to an abdominal strain or something like that, for all those Brent Seabrook haters, this proves the value of Brent Seabrook to that defense.
That's right.
He would have absorbed a couple or gotten a stick on a couple. Yeah, sure.
He's probably thankful he didn't have to play in this game. But again, an 8-7 victory. Just when they go ahead 8-5, you think you're in the free, but that wasn't going to be the case. And perhaps most interesting on the stat sheet, I'm surprised there wasn't a second page to it, but the most comical thing on the stat sheet, Troy brought this up in the post-game show, for this game, they list the Blackhawks with 7 giveaways and the Ottawa Senators with only 2. This was a giveaway fest and a puck management mess, and never even more so. And yes, there are a lot of positives to take out of this, but a handful of negatives too. And never was that puck management issue more in evidence than shortly before Slater Cuckoo took a penalty with under 2 minutes to go, which the Blackhawks were in the neutral zone carrying it into Ottawa's end and just try to play catch a little bit or even try to dump it in. And then a play was attempted to be made, and all of a sudden Ottawa has possession once again. And that's probably the most cardinal sin you can take in a game like this, when you have possession of the puck, holding a 1-goal lead with under 2 minutes to play. It was just mind-boggling, and you thought it was going to stop at some point. And I think there was no scoring in the final 10 minutes of the second period. That was our breather.
It was like a vacation from the goal scoring from the game. I was telling people that, first of all, I appreciate my colleagues. Everyone was basically checking on me because everyone knows that with NHL.com, you have to list every goal and give a description of every goal. So everyone was joking around with me, like seeing how I was doing. I felt fine. What's funny is I'm a little tired. We'll talk about it later. I had to get up early for an interview. But I was fine this game. I got every goal. I was never got behind. I think it's because my baptism with the first game was a 13 goal game opening night. So this was like, you know, this late in the season is kind of like a piece of cake.
Yeah, and the Hawks tying their season high in goals, the 8-5 game against the Washington Capitals from a few weeks back, which was kind of the start of this good stretch, which has gotten them back in the playoff picture. We'll touch on that a little bit, but without further ado, let's hear from the head coach after this one, Jeremy Colliton, and he was approaching the podium rather casually. He's a cool customer as it is, at least with us, but he was approaching the podium from where I stand fairly casually and just doing a little sound effect like ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch or something before the line of questioning, and you might be able to hear it here as he approaches the podium and some interesting, good-natured give and take. What are you going to do after an 8-7 victory? Thank goodness it was that. Here's Jeremy Colleton after Monday night's game.
Please open with a breakdown of every goal.
You guys will be older by the time you leave, I can tell you that much.
Is this one of those games you just take the 2 points and run?
Yeah, you do. I didn't particularly enjoy it back there. If I was a player, I probably would have. But it was important that we got the win. You don't want to be looking at back of these games and wondering what if. So wasn't pretty defensively. Some nice goals and some high-end skill on both sides. But, you know, we need the points. The most important thing is the points. And good news is we won when we didn't maybe have our best effort, so hopefully we'll respond with a better one, the next one.
You didn't like your defense overall, but the last 2 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, we found a way. We were desperate, and actually that urgency and desperation to defend probably would have put the game away earlier. But, yeah, that was big.
Was the quick 0-2 start a kind of a wake-up call, a major wake-up call maybe?
Maybe, yeah. It's not how we want to start. We do have the ability to turn a game. We got some high-end players, and you know, I just wish we could be a little bit more intelligent with our decisions away from the puck, because then we'd get even more. That's the thing. If you play well away from the puck, then you have it, and you can catch teams as we did, and that's why we were able to come back. So it's another learning experience, I hope.
This is the 11th time in 60 games you guys have given up 6 goals or more this season. Is there a fix to this, or is this just the reality of this team? Is sometimes you're going to have games like this, and sometimes you have to win at 8-7?
Well, we got to improve in that area. We're certainly not going to be the finished product, and that's how it looks. But you know, we have the ability to create offense. So giving up a couple isn't the end of the world, but. It's not how we want to score a lot and give up none. You know, there's still work to do for sure.
You have any concerns about Delia? That's 9 goals allowed in like the last 65 minutes on the ice.
No, he'll bounce back. It's just one of those nights. So he's still young and he's still going through some first time experiences, and this is one of them, and he'll bounce back.
What made you decide at that moment to yank him instead of let him ride it out?
Well, I just felt like we were right in the game, and it was a winnable game, and try to change it up.
This is the third straight game you guys have won after being down 0-2. Lately, why is the team better at responding to slow starts than preventing them?
Well, good that we're responding. I'm pretty sure that's not how we want to do it going forward. We'll talk about it. We have talked about it. I think it's a similar refrain to after the last press conference. We need to stretch out the time that we're good. You know, it needs to be for more of the 60 minutes, and that'll be good enough for us.
What do you think of Ward? He should have probably had the night off. He was going to get the night off after playing the last 2 games. Probably not a stat line that he loves, but...
Well, it's a tough situation. You're not expecting to play. Of course, as a pro, you're always know that it's an option. But he came in, made some saves for us, and got the win. And that's kind of what his MO is. You know, he makes the saves at the right time for you.
Seabrook injury, is that anything of concern, or is it a minor thing?
I think it's minor, but I don't think we're exactly sure on the timeline of it. But you know, obviously, we'd like to get him back in as soon as possible. He's been playing pretty well.
Was it a lingering thing, or did it happen in morning skate?
Well, he tried it this morning. We weren't sure how it was going to go. We wanted to be sure his status for tonight before we went out with anything, but I don't think it's going to be long term.
Offensively, is there, I guess they're riding a lot of confidence right now. Is there anything you've seen them accelerate, or just the...
There is a lot of confidence, and we're making lots of plays, and I think there's, and we do some things away from the puck that allow us to have space and offensive opportunity. We can do that more. Let's do it more, and then we won't be defending so much.
Jeremy always keeps it a pretty even keel through these things, and it's just his approach. And every once in a while, he'll show a little bit of humor, give and take, and some zingers back and forth with the media. Anything stand out to you from that exchange with the head coach afterwards?
I just think it's funny. Like you said, he's a cool customer. I think you said he has been that way, and he's gotten more and more comfortable And you're kind of you see a fun side of his personality, I think, especially the last few weeks. And look, whatever happens this season, I think things have really turned out well for him. I think you just listen before the game. You know, I don't think he ever got booed. I think there's some cues. Obviously, people wanted Quinville back, and they were surprised he got fired. But honestly, you don't even hear that anymore. You hear some applause when they announce Jeremy before the games, which is great. And he's just gotten more and more comfortable. And as far as the team and the system and the way he wants them to play goes, he stuck to his guns, and he did that with guys, a lot of guys his age, a couple guys older, and guys who won three cups. And credit to the team too, because they stuck with it, and you know they believed in him at the end of the day. So I just like the way, you know, 60 games in, I thought it'd be interesting because we haven't done a show in a while, just kind of to evaluate him a little bit. And he came into a tough situation. Things are not going well for a long time, and here they are, 1 point out of a wild card spot. So it's nice to see him, I think, get credit from the fans and him just more comfortable in his role.
Yeah, I think those thoughts are spot on, too. And I think fans have no choice but to be impressed with where he's brought this team. You know, we don't know whether they're going to make the playoffs or not, but just to be back into the consideration of it. Now, granted, a big part of that is the West being the West this year, and the Blackhawks are lucky that that's the case, and the conference has come back to them. But when you look at 9 wins in the past 11, no matter how beautiful or ugly that they are, they're getting some results there. No question that they've struggled against some higher caliber opponents in those two losses, Columbus and Boston. But hats off to this, to Jeremy, and for the leadership of this team, keeping everyone together when it could have been so easy to mail this thing in. And the first challenge he was faced with, for the first time in game, in the middle of a period. Now, he's changed in that New Jersey game. He went from Ward to Delia after two periods. And this time, Colin Delia was, you know, Grant, he didn't get a whole lot of help. And I think Jeremy's hands were tied that after 8 minutes and three goals by the Ottawa Senators, he had to make that change. And now you look at the Delia situation here with Corey Crawford on the verge of returning. In his last two games, Delia has allowed 9 goals on 47 shots, the loss in Boston and the start of this game. And now with Corey Crawford apparently ready to return, perhaps by the time this podcast airs, there could be a roster move made. If Dealey does have to go back to Rockford, if Corey deems himself ready, goes to Detroit, as if not the starter, the backup on Wednesday night. And it presents an interesting situation that Corey, after 6-7 weeks following this latest concussion, is ready to go again. He thought maybe at worst he would need a couple more practices to get his timing back, but here's Corey knocking on the door once again.
Yeah, and like I said, we haven't done a podcast in a couple of weeks, so to get people up to speed, he's been saying he's ready for like a week now, a little less than a week, and Colleton still has been, you know, very mum on it. He's a guy who had a head injury at the end of his career, I believe, and has not been disclosing too much about it, but Crawford really could be ready to go any day now, I think, because he's had a couple morning skates in a row. He was getting working before practice, like we saw him do at the beginning of the year, and then it was just I think it was 12 days after he started joining practice again that he got back into the lineup. So he will be back really soon, and it's nice that Delia got that contract, because otherwise he goes down to Rockford, he doesn't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So it is probably reassuring for him. He can go and get a lot of games in and work on some things there.
Yeah, we'll see if in fact that happens. It may have happened by the time our podcast airs, as a matter of fact. But let's hear from the guy who came in 8 minutes into this one, Cam Ward. It was supposed to be Delia's net tonight. It certainly didn't last long. And let's hear from Ward, one of the goalie who survived this onslaught here tonight at both ends of the ice. And this exchange with the media after the 8-7 victory begins with Ward being asked if he feels like he was the star of the game.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, I think Cat was the hero tonight. You know, obviously he played extremely well. I asked him if that was his first hat trick, and he looked at me like I was an idiot. But I said, sorry, Cat, I wasn't here last year. But he's like, that was my fourth. But I mean, he was hot. But obviously, we need to we know that we need to defend better, and you know, we need to be better in front of, you know, deals too. And you know, it's important that he keeps his head up and keeps moving forward, because he's been playing great for us. And obviously, he didn't deserve that.
Have you been thrown into a game 5 minutes in like that? And
it was more than 5 minutes, wasn't it?
It was early. I don't know about the exact time, but it was very early. Were you?
I've been on the other side. I've been yanked in the first 5 minutes of a game, but it just goes to show you got to prepare for every single game because you never know what can happen, and you might have to be called upon to go out there. And I guess the fact that it wasn't sitting on the bench for too long was probably better for me.
What was the feeling when you're going onto the ice?
Sorry?
What was the feeling when you're going onto the ice down two and you're up against so much and then come back and win?
Well, I think it's just, trying to change the momentum of the game, obviously. That happens when you change a goaltender, and, it's important to come up with the save early when you get in there, give the team some confidence. Stone got that goal pretty early on too, but it was one of those games you just had to battle. It wasn't going to be pretty, obviously, and it almost seemed like last man standing, and fortunately we were able to get the 2 points, which is obviously the most important thing.
What was the last minute 40 like? Six on four at the end, not just a power play, but 6-on-4 the last minute 40. What was it like back there?
Yeah, I mean, he had to grind it out. He knew that they were going to pull the goaltender, and when we were on the PK, and I thought they had actually a really good look, and Duncan Keith had a really good stick there in front of the net to preserve the win for us. I thought would have been probably a backdoor tap in if it wasn't for his stick there. So, PK came up huge. Again, we don't like to put ourselves in that situation, but we grinded it up.
We could very well be looking at two veterans back guiding the Blackhawks in net for the home stretch here. Before we talk about playoff hopes here, a couple things. Alex DeBrincat getting his fourth hat trick in his young career, back up to 32 goals. He's blown his rookie total of 28 out of the water right now. And Patrick Kane, an 18-game point streak, 40 points in those 18 games. He also becomes just the fourth player in NHL history to have an assist streak of 17 games, joining Wayne Gretzky, who has the record of 23 in a row, Adam Oates, and Paul Coffey. He moved ahead of Jaromir Jagr, who he was tied with at 16, with the two assists on Monday night. Those other three are Hall of Famers. I don't think there's any doubt Patrick Kane's going to be going to the Hall of Fame. But this season that he's having really blows my mind based on, until this last month, Wednesday will be the one-month mark where he was put on a line with Kajula and Taves. Prior to that, he was with anybody and everybody. Yeah. And during his MVP season, it was Panarin and Anisimov. And for what he has done, this is turning into one of these seasons where if the Hawks do get into the playoffs, I know it's been brought up before, but he deserves just as much as anybody to be a Hart Trophy winner again.
Yeah, you said it, scoring with everybody. And, tonight was DeBrincat's night, I think. They made my lead about Kane, but it's been about Kane every game. So I made about DeBrincat getting 5 points. But, he just always finds a way. And when tonight it was DeBrincat, like I said, but it's usually Kane. He's put this team on his back so many times this year, and now they're just 1 point shy of a wild card spot. So he really has been the difference maker for a team that could, kind of limp into the playoffs here. So I don't know if that's not MVP caliber, I'm not sure what is.
But one frustrating thing for Patrick, though, is he has these multi-point games, and he thinks he's going to... first of all, he has shot up the point standings in the leagues, where he's second right now. And he has these multi-point games where he thinks, okay, I might be catching up to Kucherov, closing the gap a little bit right now. What does Kucherov do on Monday night? He has a five-point game compared to Kane's three-point game.
Five-point game.
And in all of Tampa Bay's goals. So here's Patrick sitting now at 90 points after a three-point night, and he's still 9 points behind Kucherov, who's on the verge of busting 100, so it's got to be a little bit frustrating. So here the Blackhawks are as we tape this podcast following Monday night's action. Dallas and Minnesota, hold the two wild card spots at 63 and 60 points. I don't know how much longer the Wild are going to be there based on Dumba's already been out, Koivu's out the rest of the season, and the way they've lost some of these games lately at home to Philadelphia, where they blew a lead, and then blowing a 4-1 lead against New Jersey after Bruce Boudreau guarantees that they're going to be in the playoffs. I think this is going to be a much different Minnesota team come trade deadline on Monday. So those are the two wild card holders at 63 and 60 points. Then the Blackhawks, Colorado, which also won on Monday, and Vancouver all sit at 59 points. The Hawks and Vancouver have played 60 games. Colorado has that one game in hand at 59 points. Then Arizona, after losing on Monday to Calgary, they're at 57 points, also at through 59 games. And Anaheim sitting there at 55 after winning a couple games recently. But there is no question the Blackhawks are in the playoff hunt. They've worked their way back into it. It hasn't been pretty. It may not be pretty with the way they play some of these games unless things tighten up. I'm just not sure whether their style, and until they tighten up, is going to do the job for them. But we know they can score goals, and here they are knocking at the door again.
Well, you know, look, and just 4 points shy of the first wild card spot now with Dallas. You go back to the winning streak, and especially at the beginning when you're beating teams like the Islanders and the Capitals, and they were pretty tight then, and they did have the goal scoring now. And now you're seeing the scoring from the first two lines. Yeah, they're a little top heavy, but they can come back from these deficits. And you don't want it against maybe the worst team in the league, like what happened on Monday night, but when their defense is letting them down a little bit, and a goaltending that's been pretty good all year, when that's not up to par, you're just going to get that scoring. Kane's on fire. DeBrincat, everybody, Taves got on the board again tonight. So you're really getting that. Is it going to be enough for you to have a deep run? Probably not. You obviously need defense and goaltending. Crawford might take them a couple games at least to get back into it, but they're getting scoring, and look, I mean, they're very close right now.
Yeah.
So they could be in the playoffs.
And it's all about getting in, and granted, this part of this winning stretch has not been as clean as the first five or six games have been. Hopefully they can find a way to tighten things up. Whether that ever happens to the point where someone can be Jeremy, who has pointed it out, can be satisfied with it, I'm not sure. It'll go a long way toward making a run. But here they are this week at Detroit. One of their victims during this winning streak on a Wednesday, although they're probably licking their chops watching this game on Monday night. But then you have Colorado coming in on Friday. And by the way, for those fans coming out, it's a 6:30 start on Friday. So be sure to arrive early. And then Dallas Sunday afternoon. Those are the two teams that are right there that you're mixing it up with. And then it's a trip out west for three games.
Do you want to make a prediction?
If you want to.
All right. I'm going to say they're going to make the playoffs. What do you say?
I do. I'm not so sure, but yeah. Hey, the hope is there. And it's all about getting in, you know?
Exactly.
You know, it's all about getting in, and then can they hang, you know, with a Nashville or a Winnipeg, which has slumped a little bit of late, or, you know, a Calgary or a San Jose? Who knows? But get yourself in, roll the dice, and this kind of playing under pressure is going to help these young players invaluably, whether they make it or not. Jeremy pointed that out at the pregame skate. Speaking of the pregame skate, I was a little surprised to see a season ticket holder event going on during morning skate. This is the second straight practice here that the Blackhawks have had in which there was a huge audience, because they did a great thing with 8,000 students, part of a learning thing that the Community Relations Department has put together. But all of a sudden I hear this loud, familiar voice as I'm making my way into the bowl, and there's John, our buddy John Weideman, kind of emceeing and hosting this. The speakers were really, really loud as the players were taking the ice, and I noticed as the morning skate did officially begin, they kind of put the volume down on those speakers as John was talking about everybody within earshot. But it was kind of entertaining, and you know, he asked for questions for a while, and we in the media were kind of raising our hands at one point. He recognized us, but I don't think he was ready to take a question from us.
Yeah, they had us in one of the suites on the second level. They did that a couple of practices ago when there was another event. But yeah, we walk into the suite, and because we knew there was an event for the fans, so we could see and report on the practice, and you hear John's booming voice. John's the best. And you see they give him a podium. He's got a podium in the 100.
Mini podium.
On the 100 level for these fans. And you hear his voice, and he's literally doing play-by-play for a morning skate. And it wasn't that hard of a skate, you know? Right. So to hear him do that was funny. And, you know, he's just going off the cuff. That they must have wanted him talking the whole time. He was incredibly entertaining. And then he must have sensed that we were getting some lines off or having some fun, because then he goes, and Mark Lazarus up there, and Laz was in the media room talking about there's a new tier of points, I think, for Marriott. And so John goes, and Mark Lazarus up there, everybody, he's a titanium platinum member now at the Marriott. It's great.
It wasn't really play-by-play he was doing. He was just kind of sharing what the process is during mornings.
Yeah. It was great, informative. Informative. If you're a fan, I mean, it's great to go have that. And John right in front of you is so accessible like that.
Yeah, he brought Brian.
Campbell came out.
Yeah, he brought Brian Campbell down with him for a while. And then actually Seabrook was at morning skate, and he flipped a puck over that I think either hit or came close to hitting Brian Campbell, just as kind of a joke. I wonder if that's where the injury occurred. I certainly hope not. But speaking of John, second intermission meal on Monday night, he usually comes up and joins us, listens at a kind of a little level. We have a two-tiered radio booth. And all of a sudden, John's nose starts running. He's perspiring. He's coughing. He's sweating. And It was apparently a very spicy and dewy sausage that was offered here. And then when I went out to check things out, they had spicy buffalo wing tots or something like that. You enjoyed that.
You just made me realize, two things. You made me realize that I could have prevented that. John was in front of me, and it's called like, Ambiago sausage or something. He's like, oh, Ambiago sausage, what's that? I'm like, I don't know.
Andouille
sausage. And he goes, what's that? I go, I don't know, it looks good. So I grabbed some. I grabbed some too. It was really hot, and I also had the buffalo tenders. Those are the hottest buffalo sauce I've ever had in my life. They were good, but my mouth was burning. I'm chugging water, and I look over to you, and you're like, hot, right?
Well, I knew John was having difficulty with it too, so probably cleared the nasal passages a little bit.
John, right? It was a long day for him, working early at the morning skate. That 15 goals and spicy food.
Yes, he's going to sleep well on Monday night. Well, I'm bad with that hot spicy stuff anyway. I just stuck to the mac and cheese and the green beans there. I didn't come out unscathed today though, because as I was grabbing a bite to eat before the game, I come in and I'm kibitzing with a couple of the people in the cafeteria before heading over to the line to pick something up to eat to hold me. The people I was talking with, a fine couple of guys from Banner Collective who shoot all the videos for the Blackhawks on Blackhawks TV. After I left them, one of them then approaches me in the grub line and said, "You have a hole in your pants." So I'm immediately alarmed and wondering, okay, was today a commando day? No, thank God today was not a commando day. And which color did I choose? Once I found, there's a rip right by one of my back pockets here, rather sizable, as I reach back and look at it now. But the good news was, thank goodness my shirt is so long that it covers up the underwear, and it's kind of a bluish shirt. I have dark blue pants on. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, so I thank my lucky stars for that.
Hey, save it for the Super Bowl halftime show, will you? With that, I couldn't tell. I think you were okay, but I don't know how he spotted it.
Well, here's the thing. I usually walk in there with my suit jacket on. This was the one day I walked in there without my suit jacket on, and of course, it was much more. I could have gotten away without anybody seeing this right now. So I'm in the line trying to fill up a little container for my food while at the same time turning a certain way so I'm not exposed to the rest of the people trying to eat without seeing a hole in my pants.
Are you informed about the hole again?
You have a hole in your pants. So thanks to the good folks at Banner Collective for making me aware of that. And
it's gonna be a 1 hour feature on the website.
Right, exactly. And I tried to make my way over. And then when I checked on you after the game to see how much longer you'd be, it's warm in this room right now, so I took my jacket off. I went down and checked on you, and I forgot, I didn't have my jacket on, so I better walk in with one hand on my backside. So adventures in wardrobe malfunctions here. Your next, buddy. Speaking of next, you had yourself a long day.
Yeah.
You are author to the stars, aren't you? So fill us in.
Yes. I woke up early. I had an interview with Gary Sinise at the theater Steppenwolf in Chicago, famous theater in Lincoln Park that he's a co-founder of. Had a nice sit-down interview with him. Super nice guy. And, you know, I had about the time I was allotted. Wanted to get a couple more Forrest Gump questions in there, but I felt kind of rushed by his PR people, and they were nice enough to set it up, and he was great. So really good experience. I think that's probably going to run on Forbes.com in 2 days, because tomorrow morning I'm going to run – Tuesday morning, if you're listening whenever, I'm going to run my interview with Kelly Clarkson I did over the phone.
Oh, did you say hi to Kelly for me?
I did. She said, that guy's still wearing trousers with holes in them.
Still.
Taught him everything he knows. Right. She gave me like 35 minutes and just super, you know, she kind of had the reputation of just being really nice and down to earth and 100%. Mm-hmm. And it seemed one of those where it seems like you could have kept talking, but I didn't want to hold her up. Really, really good stuff. I think even some exclusives, you know, I kind of surprised myself with, I guess pertinent questions.
Dug deep, didn't you?
I dug deep a little bit. And
did she get emotional at all while you were digging deep or no?
No, she did not get emotional. And nor did I.
She wasn't eating onions or andouille sausage either to have some kind of...
It's hot. No, but yeah, and I asked good questions, and she, I don't know if you saw, she did that cover of the Lady Gaga song from the movie. She did that in Green Bay on Friday. It was trending yesterday. I was the first person to ask her about it. She had a good response. So, yeah, Forbes.com Tuesday morning. Definitely up by mid-morning if you want to check. And then on Wednesday, my feature on Gary Sinise, who has a great book out now that I read quite a bit of. Not the whole thing. But so some crowded day and end with a nice podcast and 15 goals. It's been a long day.
I'm humbled, really, that you allowed some time for me after hanging with...
Top
with
my to-do list.
Gary Sinise and Kelly Clarkson.
It's a great top report.
All right. Let's see. We are now at well after midnight, so we may be locked into the United Center. I'm not quite sure, so we better put a wrap on this. Thank you for your patience. Let's try to arrange something after trade deadline early next week, even though I'm not sure what the Blackhawks practice schedule is going to be and what Stan Bowman's media availability will be after the deadline passes on Monday. So we'll figure something out early next week. It won't be as long, folks. Thanks for your patience and sticking around and enjoying or hopefully enjoying our Blackhawks crazy podcast. Too long in coming. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Also, we'll have it available via Twitter and on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page, facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy. Again, subscribe on iTunes, leave a review, and again, Scott and I will also tweet out links. I'm at Bowden Tweets. Scott is at Scott King Media. Any final things or thoughts to pass along other than our thanks to Joe Romano for once again putting this together?
Just be kind to each other and take your vitamins.
Love thy neighbor. Love thy neighbor. Yes, we need vitamins after this long night. And your long day, especially, mister. So good on you. Thanks for listening to the Blackhawks Crazy Podcast. We'll talk to you next week. Post-trade deadline.